Let's read through the chapter, then we'll go verse by verse, of course. Alrighty. It says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there was noises, thunderings, lightning, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared them to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burned with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star was Wormwood. A third of the water became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and the third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that the third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So, we open up this chapter here, and he opens the seventh seal, and there was silence in the heaven for about a half hour. Now, it doesn't seem like a long time, but it could be, or it could feel like a long time anyways. If you remember in chapter 7, we saw the four angels there, and they were holding back the winds of the earth. And then another angel showed up, and that angel would plead with them not to harm the earth or the sea or the trees yet. So there was this restraint that was occurring until the servants of the Lord were sealed, and we know them as the 144,000, and when we discussed those, they were Jewish believers. And it says there that now, in verse 1 here, now the seventh seal, you know, we've went through the sixth, there's this interlude, and now and the sealing of the 144,000, and then there was this multitude that was saved in the great tribulation, and now the seventh seal is open. And, you know, remember when we were talking about this, we were saying how merciful the Lord was, right? He was restraining things from happening. And now this seal is open, and there is this unusual silence that takes place in heaven for about a half hour. And what we've heard in the past is that when those that were gathered around the throne of God, to this point anyways, we've heard glorious singing, right? Praising the Lord and worshiping was taking place. And now all of a sudden there's this half hour of silence. And even though this seems like a relatively short time, have you ever played the game? We used to play it with the kids after our ears were bleeding in car rides, and we'd say, okay, let's play this game, Mum. And all the kids would try to, you know, not speak and so forth. So there's this complete tranquility for in our car for a moment in time. And usually, if it lasted 1, 2, 3 minutes, it was seemingly a long time, you know, and those that spoke would be the losers, I guess. but it's, you know, so a few minutes seems a long time for a kid, and a half hour certainly, that's a long time to have this silence, and especially this kind of silence where you went from the praise to the Lord to this silence where there was no sounds, you know. And maybe you can even imagine the tranquility here, but you know, here's thousands and thousands of people and angels and living creatures and so forth around the throne, and now all of a sudden there's this silence, not even a cricket, you know. And it is, you know, you're just waiting for it. There's some sort of expectation here, right? Something monumental was about to take place. You know, you're just waiting for it to drop, right? And so here you sit, almost like the calm before the storm. You see the sky, you see something's going to happen, but what is it, you know? And then the Lord steps forth and he opens that seal. And of course, in a sense, all hell breaks loose, right? I mean, all these judgments of the Lord are going to, now we're going to start seeing come forth as well in the trumpet judgments. Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So when we think of trumpets, you know, growing up in the school district that I grew up, band was a big thing. You know, if you were in the band, that was a big thing. And trumpets were, you know, like the instrument every kid wanted to play. I want to play the trumpet. It was something spectacular. Well, it is spectacular to the Christian too, because it always has a tendency to be sounded, you know, and there's an expectation with that sound, right? When the trumpet sounded, you know, something is going to happen. So, and of course, this is speaking of, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. I didn't put it up on the screen. I honestly had a crazy week, and I didn't have time to go through and sift out some of the scriptures. But you have your word in front of you. You can look at it. But Matthew chapter 24, verse 31 speaks of the coming of the Lord after the tribulation. And it says, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And so here we see this gathering of the elect. So the sounding of the trumpet and then the gathering of the elect. Other places in scripture you might remember, you see a trumpet, it's an alert. It's an alert to those that are listening that a battle is going to take place. Call to battle. And in this case, the trumpet is given to each angel to disclose or perhaps alert the earth of this, the judgment that's coming its way, right? So let's look at verse 3 here. 3 through 6, actually. It says, then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So this another angel, remember we talked about another angel in the previous chapter as well. It means, another means one of the same kind. So this is another angel of the same kind that are going to blow the trumpets. Before the trumpets are sound, there is this censer there of incense. Of course, before we, a lot of times, like when we talked about the incense that was in the holy place, we said that was the prayers of the saints. But remember, in this it says that he should offer the incense with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar. So, but we know that incense is a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Well, so isn't the prayers of the saints. What were these prayers? Well, only heaven knows. You know, John doesn't disclose what they are, but perhaps what they could be is those that are praying, and I think we should be praying in such a fashion that those that are praying for the Lord's return, you know, that he would come quickly. Because as we see these startling judgments, of course, these things will be taking place, right? They're pretty scary here. You know, it says noises that, you know, first he brings these incense that are very pleasing to the Lord. He brings these prayers of the saints to the Lord. And then he fills the censer with fire, and they throw it to the earth. He throws it to the earth, the angel there. And there's all these noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. So there's this one big earthquake with all these noises and thunderings and all the groanings, in a sense, of the earth, because this fire was thrown to the earth. And I think the last thing that happens here is obviously there's this big earthquake that happens. It's almost like, what do they call it? The cocktails that are fire, Molotov cocktails or something like that, that people would, you know, they'd fill their containers with gasoline, they'd light them, and they'd throw them into a place and it would burst in a sense there. It's kind of like that, a big explosion with noises and thunderings, and the result in, is a huge earthquake. And this would be all prior to the trumpets. It would be announcing that the trumpets were coming in a sense. It was announcing God's wrath that was going to come. In a sense, it was like the guy that stands on the bow of the ship and he fires the warning shot, you know, and that's really what God was doing here, prior to the first angel sounding the trumpet. Verse 7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And the third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. So interesting. So what happens? The hail comes, very destructive, right? As we know, hail is very destructive. When hail comes, forget your garden. It's over. It's all, you know, all the tomatoes are all mushed and so forth. If you've got any vehicles that you treasure, they probably got little dents in it. I remember, I think it was my sister had little dents all over her car from a hailstorm that they received. I can't remember where they were at the time. Maybe it was Indiana, and boy, they just had all these little BB marks all over there. But very destructive, very painful, obviously, if you get hit by them, if they're big enough. And then fire followed, it says mingled with blood. So, but the result here, the third of the trees were burned up and all the green grass. If you've ever tried to burn grass, I can say that I've burnt grass before, but it's been pretty dry. I almost burnt my parents' house down because I burnt grass too close to it one time. True story. But green grass, very hard, right, to ignite because there's so much water and so forth in it. And of course, the generation there of oxygen by the grass and by the trees would allow the human or animals to continue to live. And of course, grass makes more oxygen than trees. It says one third of of the trees were burned up and all the grass. And you might say, oh no, that's a bad thing. You know, more oxygen, you know, grass makes more oxygen than trees. But, most of the oxygen that grass creates, believe it or not, is used to create CO2. And when it dies and rots every year or every season, unlike trees that tend not to rot so quickly, the grass actually uses up that oxygen that they produce. So very little effect do we have receiving oxygen. A lot of our oxygen comes from trees. I think they produce something like 21% of the Earth's oxygen. So very important part of our ecology, right? So therefore, God leaves these trees for a specific reason, right? And I think they're mentioned here because, again, this, you know, even though God is judging the Earth, he is still merciful. He's still merciful. He's holding back. He's restraining. Could he have destroyed absolutely everything on the earth? He can do that in a moment's notice, right? I mean, it doesn't take God long to destroy the earth. He can send a tidal wave, right? That would cover the whole earth if that was his plan. But look at the mercy of God that he would allow a third of the trees. Now, obviously, that cuts down on a portion of oxygen that's being generated, but at least we have, you know, two-thirds of the trees, right, rather than, and we sacrifice the third, so. Verse 8 and verse 9. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So, you know, you don't want to be a sailor during this time. not a good occupation for you to take up, for sure. But here's a key word in all this, is that it says, in something like, and I think that word like is something that we should take notice of. It says it was like a great mountain, meaning it wasn't a mountain. It wasn't a mountain, but it was the size, perhaps, of the mountain. Maybe the shape of it was as a mountain. It's hard to think, but I would think that it would be. It says great, like a great mountain. You would think the size, maybe the shape of it as well, would give John such a picture here of a mountain. You know, some, you know, think that perhaps it's a, you know, because there's fire involved, is, and it's shaped maybe like a mountain. Maybe it's something like a volcano or something like that that's thrown to the earth. A lot of people think that it is going to be a large asteroid, which is, you know, just a big old rock that orbits the sun, and that is what's thrown to the earth. But whatever is thrown into the sea, it certainly disrupts the ecosystem, right? And again, as far as oxygen goes, you know, we talked about trees producing oxygen. Well, the sea or the oceans actually produce more oxygen than trees do. Some think that it mentions the sea, and in John's time, what was the sea, right? The sea was the Mediterranean, and of course, it would seem likely that this may be what was talked about here, or what John was referring to, because that's what he knew. John had little to maybe even no understanding of the oceans. But of course, this is not the revelation of John. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? This is the revelation of the Word. This is the revelation of God, right? So, certainly, even though John didn't realize what he was seeing, maybe, he might have, in the physical, thought it was the Mediterranean, but, you know, it might be that it is the whole ocean, you know. So, and this actually is very similar to the Pharaoh plague. Remember when Moses turned the water into blood? And this, that would occur throughout the whole land of Egypt. We're here only a third. Again, if we go back to the scripture there, it says, and a third of the living creatures of the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. You know, again, it's God's judgment, but it's also God's mercy that he doesn't, you know, basically swallow up the whole sea and make it pretty much impossible for us to survive, or those in the tribulation period. I won't say us, because I don't plan on being there. I plan on being with Jesus, you know. So, verse 10 says, then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star was Wormwood. It doesn't even sound good. You know, Wormwood. A third of the waters became Wormwood. And we'll talk about that. And many men died from the water because it was made bitter. So this great star, unlike the previous verses where it said it was like a great mountain, John doesn't say that same terminology here. He doesn't use like here. So as far as he's concerned, this is a star that is falling, or we might call it a meteor or a falling star, right? But it falls and it enters into the Earth's atmosphere, and we know what happens there because we've watched Apollo 13 or whatever it was there that came bursting through the atmosphere and caught on fire and so forth. So that's what happens when it goes into the Earth's atmosphere. It appears like a torch. Again, this is a star, and this star falling to the Earth would impact the waters, the springs, the rivers there. And it would say that this star's name was Wormwood. Well, Wormwood means bitterness, or I've seen some say it means sorrows, right? And of course, at this point in time, there's great sorrows that will occur. It says there in that scripture that many men would die. I think some taste and walk away. Some taste the bitter water and they walk away today. I think some people taste the bitter water, what the world has to offer. They walk away. Others continues to be consumed, right? And that consumption of this water led many to death. Well, Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 13 through 15. I'm just going to read it, but Jeremiah mentions here Wormwood. And he says, and the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts, and after the Baals, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall, or poisonous water to drink. So this bitter water, you can use it metaphorically to describe life or the sorrows of life and the turmoil that's resulted from disobeying the Lord. And in this judgment, though it's a judgment, we continue to see God's mercy. Because in this, it says many, many men died by drinking, but you know, I don't think all of them died. Some even might have turned to Christ and repented, right? So I'm going to give you a break tonight because we're gonna have a short teaching tonight. But just to finish up the chapter here, it says, then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, And I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So here we have the fourth angel sounding the trumpet. The judgments here of God are evident to the entire inhabitants of the earth. Now, this doesn't mean that the light of the sun was less. It didn't diminish in power necessarily, but what it means is that there would be absolute darkness during the day or night because of the third of the sun was darkened. So it's almost as if the Lord put his hand over a portion of the sun and allowed it not to shine. And I think we've all been in those places where there's this complete darkness. You know, we were down in Virginia and we were going through some of the caverns. I think it was Lorraine Caverns there. And I remember the tour guide taking us down into the depths of the hill there, and we were standing there, and of course there's all these little waterfalls you're all impressed with and so forth. And then he warned us, have you ever been in complete darkness? And of course they shut off the lights and it was like you couldn't see a thing, right? Because without light, we're blind. We've got to have light in order to be able to see. So it was at the beginning of this chapter, it said there was silence, complete silence for a half hour. I don't know, but that complete darkness, when you figure you're going to be in it for a while, right? We always think of Alaska and how they go through these dark times. Well, they're not in absolute darkness. This is an absolute darkness thing, you know, where, wow, you know, you think a half hour of silence is bad. Wait until you have to rotate out of this darkness, you know. People are chomping at the bit for the end of the tribulation period by then, you know. They're like, wow, we don't like this. But just this judgment of darkness. And as you know, as I read this, I think of Elmira, of course, because there's a lot of darkness here, right? And even today, you know, as you think about the cloudiness, the rain that was all day, and just a cloudy, and how your attitudes are just not yours, but you know, in general, right? Is that we get these attitudes that aren't very good because of the sun isn't shining, and it's hard to keep your focus sometimes, right? I said to Karen one time, because she helped me a little bit today, and I said, yeah, these days are hard, you know, these days are hard. That's why I'm joking around. It was an excuse to joke around, I guess, while she helped me. But, it's kind of gloomy. It's that lack of vitamin D that we get from the sun. I don't know. But what an impact it has on the ecosystem too, right? Things aren't going to flourish without the sun. Photosynthesis isn't going to occur without the sun if we're in that dark portion. And so vegetation, there's a lot of issues, obviously, if that is blocked out from us. And then, of course, the latter part there, the verse 13, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. You know, this is the next three chapters that we'll cover. We'll see the next three trumpets there and discuss those. But I think the only you know, when we see woe in the Bible, it's not a good thing, right? When we see woe, you know, the only good woe is when you're riding a horse, right? And you want to stop and you say, woe. Which reminds me of a story about a circuit preacher. He was, a circuit preacher back in the day, right? Rode from town to town, and he would get to a certain location and preach a message and so forth. And back in the day, of course, they rode their horses along the way and stopped into different churches and so forth. And he got to this one town, and his horse kind of kicked the bucket on him. So he was searching for a new horse. So he went into one of the ranchers, and this guy had just gotten done training this horse. And so he said, well, look, I trained this horse, and the only thing is, he's a biblical horse. He responds to biblical language. And the preacher kind of looked kind of sideways at him and said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know how you usually say, you know, giddy up, and they go? Well, now you say, praise the Lord. And you know how you say, whoa, you say amen, right? When you want them to stop, you say amen. So the guy goes, okay, I'll take him. He goes, praise the Lord. So he takes off, right? And he's going through the countryside and so forth. And he says, the horse gets going and he stops and he says, amen. So the horse stops, and that's good. And all of a sudden, the horse starts taking off, and he's like almost out of control, and he didn't even say anything, you know. And the guy's lost it, right? He's forgot everything he just learned from this guy, and he gets to the, he's seeing it. He's that this thing's going to go off the cliff, you know. And so as he's thinking of this, he says, oh yeah, all I have to do is say amen. And so he said amen, and the horse stopped, and he goes, praise the Lord. Anyways, that had nothing to do with anything, right? So there you go. So let's pick up next week. We'll pick up looking at the fifth trumpet, the locusts from the bottomless pit. All righty.